Well, John's right. He is the crybaby. Been that way all his life. No, I'm the same way. The older I get, and I've noticed it with Bruce too, the older we get, the more we cry over things because the more we're touched of Jesus. And that's why. Sometimes just listen to him sing that song and the blessing that it brings to us. Now, Sharon and Jerry didn't care one bit about me. They didn't teach me anything. Part of that was due because I was just a little booger, and I was a little guy, and I didn't get in on a lot that Bruce and John got in on, from that sort of thing to Dad teaching them how to build things and a lot of things. So I am what I am, and I'm satisfied with that. And I mean, it could be worse. It has been worse. And so anyway, we want to do our best today. I told you at the beginning of the week, when I come to meetings like this, I do not bring any pastoral messages. And I bring revival messages. I bring camp meeting messages. I'm preaching on salvation, sanctification, and I hammer it home. For you that have been here, you know that I hammer it home. There's a lot of things I think we're mixed up in this world that we have to get straight. But yesterday, I just started feeling like God wanted me to kind of do something a little different. And I've got two folders of sermons, and I'm going through every one of them. So what do I preach? What do I preach? What do I preach? And a couple of them I kind of looked at and started to read. Nope, that's not it. And so on and so forth. Well, I happen to have a little devotional in my folder that I used at a church picnic. And the Lord kind of said, that's what I want you to preach. So I'm standing here with fear and trembling that I'll preach too short or preach so mixed up that it doesn't make any sense to you. But I want to look at this what Jesus and who he is. These songs have been perfect. The special was perfect. Marty, the scripture you read, perfect. Has to do everything with what this message is. And I was just rejoicing of the confirmation that no matter how this comes out, it's still the right thing, and it's going to help at least one person here tonight. And so this morning. So if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn with me to Psalm 23. And in fact, you don't even have to turn there if you don't want to, because you know the verse. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And then I want to read also John 10:27, and I'd like you to stand as I read that and remain standing for a word of prayer. Remembering the first verse, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And then chapter 10, verse 27 of John says this, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me." Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, we come to Thee this morning with all of our heart. I'm thankful for the group of people that are here, and Lord, I trust that you will feed their hearts and mine as well. As I've been working on this, just a fresh realization who you are to me. And Lord, the songs, "Wonderful Savior, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus," and the scripture that we have a God that provides. So Lord, they all feed into this. So I pray that you will help me deliver this devotional in a way that's pleasing to you. I'm just casting myself upon you this morning for your help. Lord, open our ears, as the scripture says, open the eyes of our heart so that we might hear, and we'll give you all the praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a lot of ways to present the plan of salvation, and this may be just another one. I don't know if it'll come across that way to you or not. But several years ago, I was watching a movie, and it was called Remember the Titans. Anybody remember that movie? I was watching that movie, and it was toward 10, 15 minutes, 20 minutes into the movie. And this is a story about two southern, you know, it's a city, all white. There's prejudice against blacks. You got this all white football team that there's prejudice, a lot of prejudice going on. And it's in the years of integration. So they bring in Denzel Washington, who is the black coach, in. And the black team and the white team get together, and There's a couple white guys that are getting ready to go on the bus to go to what's kind of a boot camp. They're going to go to this training camp. And they're kind of fussing with Denzel Washington because he's now the head coach. And they kind of get in his face a little bit and says, well, so-and-so, we're used to him playing here, them playing here. And Denzel Washington makes a few comments, and he says these words to them. Now who's your daddy? Now who's your daddy? It's kind of the title of this message. And you know, in the New Testament, Paul uses that phrase, Abba, Father. We talked about it, I think, in one of the Bible studies or something this week. Somebody brought that up, about that word meaning that that connection of kind of like a daddy and that feeling. And I take that from the Lord is my shepherd. And the thing about it is, this verse, verse 1, people want the second half without the first half. They want all the blessings of God. They want all the outpouring of God, all the grace of God, all the provision of God. But they don't want to pay attention to the first half that says, the Lord is my shepherd. And I got to thinking about that when I was studying this and or thinking through it. I didn't really do a lot of study here. It's just kind of stuff that came to my mind. And I was thinking about that when I was in Siusla, Florence, Oregon, at the middle school there in Florence, Oregon, when my dad pastored there. One of the things I had in seventh grade was science. And in science, one of the things I thought was cool as a guy, not everybody did, is they brought in a big thing of frogs and you dissected them. You know, you took a little scalpel and you down and put little pins in there to hold its skin back, and then you got to see its heart and all that stuff in there. Well, what I want to do to begin this message is dissect these words. The Lord is my shepherd. 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 Praise his name. There's a lot in this that I never thought about it until I just started dissecting a little bit. And it says the. This is the Lord. This isn't one of many. You remember back in Israel, they had Baal and they had Moloch and they had all these gods. And in fact, they had thousands of gods in those days. And there are a lot of little gods out there. And there's a lot of little gods today, isn't there? There's money, there's sports, there's the internet, there's sex, there's all kinds of things. Some people are absolutely in love with antiques. And if they lost their antiques, they would die, you know. And what a god is a priority of your life. And there's a lot of gods in this world like that. But this isn't talking about any of those gods. This is talking about the God, the Lord, the one and only. There is none other. He is it. If you're seeking anything else, you're missing the boat. This is the Lord. And he is the Lord. He's Yahweh God. This is the God that stood at the burning bush with Moses and spoke to him. This is the God that said, I am that I am. This is the God that brought all the plagues upon Egypt. This is the God that opened up the Red Sea. This is the God that brought water from the rock. This is the God that then opened up the Jordan River. This is the God that told the people of Israel, march around the city seven times and shout, blow the trumpets, and the walls will come tumbling down. And the walls came tumbling down. A little bit later, Joshua is praying, and the sun stands still for a day so that he can finish the battle. This is the God that shut the mouths of the lion. This is the God that protected the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire. This isn't any God. This is the Lord. The Lord God Almighty. And then you bring that into the New Testament and you see the connection of what Jesus means to us when he says, I am the bread of life. I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the door. I am the sustainer. I am the good shepherds. And here's the thing about it, friends. I'm on his side. I can count upon him. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this God, the Lord God that we worship and we look to and we lean upon, he is Lord God Almighty. And Jesus is God too, who gave his life for us. Amazing stuff. The Lord is. Friends, listen. Not was, not will be, but the Lord is. 24/7, the Lord is. He went to the grave, yeah, but he came back out. There's a resurrection. Our Lord lives. Our God lives. He's, again, the greatest. He's the only one. He's not going to not ever not be. And friends, my hope rests in him. He is. Present tense. When I have struggle, he's there. When I have to make decisions, he's there. When I am going through temptations and trials and everything, friends, I need him now, and he is there because the Lord is. He is right now. When I pray, he answers. When I preach, he anoints. When I walk, he gives me victory. Yesterday, there's a little poem I use. I work with hospice ministries. I've been working with hospice for 17 years, and we do a Christmas memorial service for the hospice families in our county every year at my church. And I always bring a message, but someplace in that message, I always give this little word. It's a little poem, and it says this. Yesterday, God helped me. Today, he'll do the same. How long will this continue? Forever, praise his name. Little thing I lean on all the time. Friends, we have a God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I can't be that. I can't be there for everybody. I mean, I'm a dad, I'm a husband, and as a husband, as a dad, I want to be there for my children all the time. Just this week on, I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday, we were driving around and we happened to go to, what was the name of the church? Days Church? Days, where we went to church as kids. Day, Reverend Day. Bob Day. Wichita. We were going to look at the Wichita church, and on the way there, my phone rings, and it's my wife, and she's bawling, and she's crying. Well, I knew she was heading up to my daughters that day to spend a couple days with my daughters, and one of the things that goes on with my wife every once in a while, she has to take medicine for it, is she has panic attacks. And so she's on her way up to go visit my daughter, and she has a panic attack on the highway. She's pulled over, she's at a Myers, and she's calling for help. I did the best I could on the phone. I know my younger daughter, she had already talked to her, and they had prayer together. But friends, it drove me nuts. As a dad, I want to be there for my kids. I want to be there for my wife. I want to meet their needs. I'm the rock, you know. I'm the pillar. I'm supposed to be there. And here my wife is calling me, and I can't do anything about it. But Jesus could. Jesus could. And within 15 minutes, I got a text from her, said, everything's okay. I was having a panic attack. And I'm saying, yeah, you know, yeah, you were. I mean, you're bawling on the phone. I don't know what to do. But friends, our God is there. All the other gods that somebody might pick up, somebody might worship, it's kind of like Elijah on Mount Carmel. You remember that? And Elisha's kind of making fun of them, and he's saying, well, where is your God? Is he on vacation? Is he using the bathroom? Where is he at? Friends, we can't be there all the time, but our God can, because the Lord is. He is. And maybe the most important word here, the Lord is my. My. Not just the shepherd. Not just your shepherd. Not just was my parents' shepherd. Not somebody else's shepherd. He is my shepherd. Have you ever gone to like Red Lobster, Texas Roadhouse? Do they have those out here? And if it's a real busy place, they'll give you one of those pagers, you know, one of those lights. Sometimes hospitals do that to call you into the emergency room and all that. You get one of these little beeper things, and you're there, and you're sitting there. Some of those restaurants, you can eat peanuts and do some other things. Usually it's just a pack of people, and you just wish they'd hurry up. But after a while, that beeper's going to go off. And what that beeper is telling me is that everything's ready. The table is spread. I prepared the way. Everything's there. The food's going to be ordered. And friends, that's the way our Lord is. That's the way my God is. That's the way my Savior is. He makes and prepares the way for us. He leads us. He guides us. He strengthens us. He blesses us. He ministers to us. Friends, and He does that more than we can ask or even imagine. Better than Red Lobster by a mile. He is our Lord. The Lord is my personal. He is mine. I know Him in my heart. He knows me in His. He walks with me. He talks with me. He's my Savior. He's my friend. He is everything I need, which leads me to the last word. The Lord is my shepherd. Friends, He will feed me. He will strengthen me. He will heal me. He will bind my wounds. We've all heard sermons about the shepherd and how He takes care of the sheep. He will seek me if I start to go astray. He will reach out to me. He gave His life for me. He gives Himself to me spiritually. He gives Himself to me physically, mentally, emotionally. The Lord is my shepherd, and He meets all my needs. Again, abundantly above all I can ask or think, the Lord is my shepherd. Don't you like that? Now let's look at the other verse. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Now, I'm not going to dissect this, but friends, we have to be willing to be sheep. And too often we're not. I mean, shepherds shepherd sheep. Say that fast 10 times. They don't shepherd dogs. They don't shepherd cats. They shepherd sheep. If you're not willing to be His sheep, He's not going to be your shepherd. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Many people haven't decided who the shepherd's going to be. I mean, for instance, let's say me and John are farmers and I own the farm and John's my helper. And John comes to me one day and you're standing off the side. And John comes to me one day and says, Roger, would you do this for me? Roger, would you do that for me? Roger, would you go off into the North Forty and plow that field for me and bring in the hay? And Roger, would you do this and that? And if you're standing there, who would you think is the boss and who would you think is the hired hand? But friends, that's the way a lot of people do that in prayer, don't they? They go to prayer instead of being God's servants, instead of being God's sheep. We go to God and say, will you do this for me? Will you go here for me? Will you go do this and that and take care of this and that and the other friend? Friends, we have to be willing to be a sheep. Now, I talked to a farmer in my church, and I got some of these from him, some of the thoughts from him. What are sheep like? Well, first of all, sheep are dumb. Sorry. Have you ever been to a circus? I just heard Barnum and Bailey, our Ringling Brothers, just had their last thing here several months ago, and they were the last big circus, and now they're done. But I've been to the circus. And one of the things about the circus is I saw all kinds of stuff, you know, and they did all kinds of things with the animals. And one of the animals was a lion, and the guy would literally stick his head in the lion's mouth, and the lions would stand on these stools, and then the elephants would come around, and a guy would be there with a stick marching them around, and the monkeys would be dancing on their back doing stupid stuff, and then you would have the horses come in and perform and all that. But never once did I see a performing sheep. Not once. I mean, I kind of live out in the country, and this particular farmer in my church had sheep, and I've been out to his house, and he still has a few sheep today, but I have never once gone over there and watched him throw a stick out and say, fetch, go get it, sheep, go get it, roll over, play dead. You can't teach them that because they're dumb. Their porch light is flickering. The elevator's not all the way to the top in a sheep. They're just not there. And friends, the point I'm trying to make is this. Dumb may be a hard word to use, but we have to admit that God knows more than we do. that his ways are beyond our ways. You're not that smart. He needs to lead you. He needs to guide you. He needs to direct you. He needs to help you in decision making. He needs to give you wisdom in working with people and their souls and all that. And friends, even in that, all we like sheep have gone astray, he is still there to help us because he's the shepherd. And if we are willing to be his sheep, he will take us even through our stupidness. I mean, we've all been stupid, right? I mean, I talked about selling the old cars the other day. You know, I had this 48 Dodge, man, if I had it today. That 55 Chevy I bought for 90 bucks, if I had it today. Well, one time I was driving down the highway. I was driving down Florin Road in my 55 Chevy, and my pretty soon-to-be wife, Joyce, was next to me. We had been out. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Maybe closer to 7 at night. It's about 7 at night. We were driving down. We were just coming over the hump of Highway 99, and here comes the guy we called Fonzie. He had a 63 Chevy Malibu, and he had fixed up, and we're looking at each other, you know, yeah, it's time to race a little bit, you know? And so I'm saying, okay, let's do it, and I shifted that baby down, took off. He took off. I skidded all over the road, almost lost control. The car stalled and I was stuck because when you shift down in a 55 Chevy, that's reverse. It's not first, it's reverse. And I was thinking I was in my other car that I was having worked on. That's why I bought the 55 Chevy to get me by until I could get by. But friends, we do a lot of stupid things in life. We're not that smart. You need somebody to guide your life, take care of your life, watch over your life, meet your every need. The other thing, another thing about sheep is that they're defenseless. They're defenseless. They don't have fangs. They don't have claws. They don't have an armor around them. They don't have wings to fly away. They can't run that fast. They can't swim at all, I don't think. Maybe they can. You know, as I was thinking about this, have you ever, what's some of your favorite sports team? We're a small group here. We can just talk. Blazers. Who? Blazers. The Blazers, Portland Blazers, right? Anybody else? Who's your favorite team? Green Bay Packers. Anybody else? Pittsburgh Steelers. Man, we've got the Michigan Spartans. We've got the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. When's the last time you ever heard a team called the Sheep? I mean, the closest I could think of was Ducks. Sorry. You know, but the thing about ducks is, now we don't have a lot of ducks in our area. We do have some ducks in our area, but we've got a lot of geese that are kind of like ducks. And I'll tell you what, when you get to a red-eyed goose and he gets his head up, you don't want to be around the thing. You're scared to death. I had a blind fellow that I was having Bible studies with, a kid one time, and he had one of those geese to protect his house, and he had to come out with a broom every time and shoo it away so I could get in the door. Those things are even mean. But when's the last time there was a sports team named the Sheep? I mean, you have the Bears and the Tigers and all that stuff. Friends, listen, the devil is out there, and he is real, and he's going about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He wants to eat us up spiritually, defeat us spiritually, and we need protection or else we're dead. And our God, the Lord, is my shepherd. Amen. And one more thing about sheep. They're dirty. They're dirty. And cats, dogs kind of lick themselves. Most animals have a means of cleaning themselves, not sheep. If you leave a sheep to itself, pretty soon its hair is going to be completely knotted and matted and dirty and ugly, and you don't even want to be around that. Friends, we need a shepherd who can clean us. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and Jesus can wash away your sins. We're born into this world with dirty hearts, carnal hearts, and Jesus can cleanse those hearts. And here's the great thing, and I'm not going to get into it this week. If I was preaching longer, I would. But we have a shepherd who will keep us clean. As we walk in the light, that's what that verse is talking about. He will clean us up, and he will continually clean as we continue to let him be our shepherd and walk in all the light he gives us. As long as we will hear his voice and follow him, we can stay clean in this world and live in victory for Jesus. Amen. Because friends, I'm telling you, I've told you all week, I want victory, and this Savior, this shepherd, my daddy, can give it to me. We just have to decide who's going to be the shepherd. You know, several years ago when I lived in Sacramento, California, I graduated from high school, and I graduated when I was 17. I actually moved out of the house when I was 17. I didn't want to be a Christian then. I just wanted away from the rules of the home, and so I left. I moved out. But one of the jobs, first jobs I had, was at a service station, a golf station. And Paul Harder was the boss of that station, and Bruce had worked there, and Bruce had given him my name, and he hired me. And the thing about that particular gas station, it was on a busy corner. We had three islands, I think it was, of pumps. We had two out front, which were full service, and then we had one over to the side, which was self-service. And full service was great. I mean, in our day, you know, full service meant you washed their windows, you filled the car, and you always asked them if they wanted their oil checked or their tires checked. And most of the times, they would let you go ahead and do it, so you had your tire gauge in your pocket, and you'd run around there, you know, and check everybody's tire, check it all, and fill up what needed to be. And you took care of your customers pretty good. At the self-serve station, you took care of yourself. And the thing about that was, if it was raining, you know, you got wet. And if the gas pump kind of spilled over a bit, you got stinky. And if it was cold outside, you got cold. And some people felt like it was worthwhile because they were saving a little bit of money. It was only like a couple cents difference a gallon, but they would rather save that 10 cents or 20 cents back then. When gas was like 40 cents a gallon, you know. They'd rather save that 80 cents than have me go around and do all that for them while they sat in the comfort of their car. Kind of dumb to me. But we have a lot of people that live self-serve lives all their lives. I'll take care of it. I'll do it. I'll figure it out. I'll take care of things. Yeah, I might get dirty, and I might get smelly, and I might get sick because of the wind and the rain, and I might make a mess of myself. And friends, if you do self-serve spiritually, you'll make a mess of yourself that way too. Emotionally and physically. I've seen it time after time after time. When we take the shepherd role instead of being the sheep, we mess up because we're not that smart. But friends, how much better to have a shepherd who's full service. I will meet all your needs according to my riches and glory. I will be with you. I will not fail you. I will be there as your rock. I will be there as your refuge. I'll be there as your high tower. I'll be there. I'll be there. I'll meet your needs. I'll walk with you. I'll talk with you. I'll minister to you. I'll be there every step of the way. I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd feeds his sheep. And so, friends, that's the message this morning. I come back to the question, so who's your daddy? Who's your daddy? I hope you can say with David, the Lord, the Almighty King of Kings, Lord of Lords, is right now, 24/7, my personal shepherd who cares for me. And I'm his sheep, and I hear his voice, and I follow him. Because he's God, and I'm not. Amen. I've asked John to just kind of close us. I'd like you to stand. If you need to come and pray, you can. But if you're not sure who your daddy is. But I just wanted him to sing kind of a chorus here. We're going to sing it a cappella. It just kind of feeds into the message a little bit. So we're going to sing it through a couple times.
117, if you need the book, but into my heart.
Into my heart, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus.
Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, I wanted to be a small s shepherd this morning. And I trust I fed your people well. Lord, let us never forget we need you more than anything. So Lord, fill our souls with your presence. Guide our every step. Be our shepherd, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You are dismissed.